Today's episode of Beyond the Uniform is sponsored by Secured Components. Secured Components is a certified small business supporting the warfighter since 2008. Secured Components delivers innovative and cost-effective solutions for high-reliability supply chain challenges arising from diminishing manufacturing sources and material shortages across a wide range of DoD legacy systems and platforms. Secure Components' commitment to a transparent supply chain, counterfeit avoidance, and strategic sourcing translates to increased readiness, reliability, and efficiency for the warfighter. Please visit their website at securecomponents.com or call them at 484-881-3125. Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and my goal is to help military veterans thrive in their civilian career. Today is episode number 232 with IVMF's Maureen Casey.
I would say, well, what is it that you want to do? And the reply almost verbatim would be, anything you need me to do, ma'am. And I'd say, well, that's good, but that's not what's going to persuade a hiring manager in the consumer bank at JP Morgan want to bring you on board. They want to know that you're willing to do anything and everything that's asked of you, but they want to know what's important to you and what it is you want to do, and you need to be able to answer that question.
Well, Maureen and the IVMF are both experts in the field of military veterans and their civilian career. In this interview, we talk about the number one challenge facing the military veteran community today. We talk about the best way for members of the military and their spouses to identify a fulfilling career after their military service. We talk about the biggest mistake that people in the armed forces make when they transition to a civilian career and how to avoid it. And we talk about military veterans in entrepreneurship and specific data about how they stack up against their civilian counterparts. As always, at beyondtheuniform.io, you'll find show notes with links to every single thing that we discuss in this interview, in case you're driving a ship car or plane or what submarine, whatever it may be. We've got you covered. You can go to the show notes and follow up on that. You'll also find over 230 episodes just like this, completely free, to help you figure out what you want to do and how to succeed in that career path. And we also have the Beyond the Uniform coaching program for those that want to take this one step further. We connect you with certified, subsidized coaches to help you figure out your next career move. So with that, let's dive in to my interview with Maureen Casey. Well, my guest today, the third person from IVMF gracious to join the show and provide some perspective, is Maureen Casey. Maureen, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Thank you so much, Justin. I'm honored and thrilled to be a part of the conversation today.
Awesome. And just to give listeners a taste of your background, Maureen is the Chief Operating Officer for the Institute for Veterans and Military Families, or IVMF, at Syracuse University. She brings more than 25 years of public and private sector experience to her current leadership role at the IVMF, including work as a Managing Director at JP Morgan Chase, the New York City Police Department, the New York State's Criminal Justice System, and more. She received her Juris Doctorate from SUNY Buffalo School of Law and a Bachelor of Science magna cum laude from the State University of New York's College at Brockport. So maybe to start things off, Maureen, if you were speaking to someone who's on active duty, how would you describe your role and the work that you do right now?
Here at the IVMF, I would describe it as one of primarily responsible for managing the day-to-day operations of the organization so that all of those we serve or all those that work for the Institute are able to serve active duty, transitioning service members, veterans, and their families. I would say that part of my responsibility is to fill in the gaps. As you indicated, Justin, I have a variety of experiences throughout my career, and although not a veteran of military service, have spent spent some time working in both the public and private sectors. So the opportunity for me to support others throughout the organization, whether it is on the development side in terms of raising dollars to support the organization, because all of the programs that we offer are free to active duty service members, or if it is actually in hands-on work surrounding our employment efforts. For example, some of the work I did at JPMorgan Chase involved bringing together employers who were interested in hiring veterans within their companies and organizations. So I do some work to support some of our career placement and employment programs. So while my primary role and responsibility is keeping the lights on and keeping things moving within the organization, I also fill in where needed on the programmatic side to support those that are leading those efforts.
And I'll start with a bit of a broader question, but given the work that you've done, what do you view as one of the biggest challenges facing the veteran community today?
So both our experience and our research tells us, Justin, that one of the greatest challenges is around, I would say, being an informed consumer and then accessing and navigating services, whether as they transition out of the military or once they are post-service and living and working in communities. There are 40,000 plus veteran servicing organizations out there. Many of them are very good. Others fall on the other end of that spectrum. And figuring out who and what is good, and then how they access and navigate whatever care and service they might need is a great challenge. Understanding all the options that are available and then how they access them, how they navigate them without getting frustrated. I have to say it was one of my greatest frustrations is that there are other organizations like the IVMF out there where our singular mission is to serve those who have worn our nation's uniform and their families. And our greatest challenge as well is to ensure that those who are transitioning, those that are looking for opportunity at post-service, that there are organizations like the IVMF out there to help them. And trying to get our message out is a challenge. So that challenge is on both sides of that equation. One, for them to know that organizations like us exist or others that for services that they're looking for, and then how they access and navigate them.
It's interesting. I've probably shared this story before on the podcast, but when I was in San Francisco, I was on a panel at Service to Schools. They were doing a meetup with veterans interested in applying to college or grad school. And one of the questions that one of the people on active duty in the audience asked was, you know, how do we find resources? How do we find you? And the sense I got from the panel, which was all resources for veterans, was the same amount of frustration of how do we get in front of people in the military? And so it does seem like a very overwhelming challenge of given the number of organizations that are trying to help the military community, both how does the person in the military find the right organization, and conversely, how does that organization cut through all the noise to get in front of the person on active duty? It's a pretty big challenge, it seems like.
It absolutely is, and I've been working in this space for 7 years, and while I think that things have gotten better, I don't think we solved that issue yet. I think that we take things like our program that's called America Serves, which is now based in 16 communities across the country, and it is specifically designed to be a one-stop shop for a transitioning service member, veteran, or family member who is looking for employment services or health-related services or housing services and support, that they can go to one place, they can tell their story once, and then there's a human being sitting there saying, here are the places that you're going to go, and I'm going to make those referrals for you, and I know that you qualify for these particular services. So there are programs like ours that are trying to solve and address that challenge, but you know, in speaking about transitioning service members, it's difficult. You're not only dealing with the Department of Defense with its programs and policies, but then you have each individual branch of service approaches transition a little bit differently. So you have to then break it down even further to address the needs of each branch of service. And then even further, each installation can have slightly different policy access and all of those kinds of things. So easy challenge, but at least I can speak to the IVMF. We are persistent and continuing to try and solve that problem.
I love that. What about, you know, one of the main questions that I see from people on active duty, and this was a big driver for me to start Beyond the Uniform, is trying to figure out what that person wants to do and how they can identify a fulfilling career in their civilian career, whether that's after 30 years of civilian or of military service or 3 years of military service. And I'm curious if you have any advice for how they might go about identifying that fulfilling career.
It's interesting. Having now worked for two different organizations coming at this particular issue from different perspectives, one at JP Morgan Chase, where the bank had made hiring veterans a priority, and now at the IVMF, as we try to help prepare transitioning service members and veterans and spouses for successful post-service careers, I see some similarities on both sides. One is to really take the time to figure out what it is that you as an individual are passionate about. I think that I came to appreciate as a civilian how effective our military training is in terms of transitioning an individual to a team player, and that during their basic training, and then obviously throughout a service member's career in the military, no matter how short or long, because being a good team player, your life depends on that. What doesn't then happen is the time to reorient yourself about being that individual contributor as opposed to a team player. And then as an individual contributor, what is it that I want to do? That is not to say that the private sector doesn't want people who work effectively as being part of a team, but they also want to know what your individual contribution to that team is going to be in a very different way than what it seemed to me it was to be part of. I think one is to really take time to think about what it is that they become passionate about and that is fulfilling to them, and that can come from talking to lots of folks, participating in networking events, thinking about internships and fellowships and all of those kinds of things. I can't tell you, Justin, how many times transitioning service members, veterans would reach out to me or others at JP Morgan and say, I just want to know what the range of opportunities are like there. And so I think that really kind of doing some soul searching about what it is that you really want to do and understand that it might take you a couple of steps to get there. But that's my thinking, is that, you know, I can't tell you how many times I would speak to veterans and I would say, well, what is it that you want to do? And the reply almost verbatim would be, anything you need me to do, ma'am. And I'd say, well, that's good, but that's not what's going to persuade a hiring manager in the consumer bank at JP Morgan want to bring you on board. They want to know that you're willing to do anything and everything that's asked of you, but they want to know what's important to you and what it is you want to do. And you need to be able to answer that question.
I think that's so great. And I, this has come up in the two things that stand out to me is, one, the importance of self-knowledge. I'd say that's probably the number one thing that guests on the show have repeatedly talked about, is how important it is to know what you like and dislike and what you want and don't want. And for listeners, there is a coaching component of Beyond the Uniform. It's in the coaching part of our website. That is one of many ways to try to drill down and suss out those values and fundamental drivers of what motivates you. But whatever method you use, I think that taking the time to reflect and really be honest about what you want simplifies this. And then the second thing that Maureen touched on is just the importance of being really specific. And I think many of the people on the show, myself included, start with this assumption of, if I'm broad, if I don't close doors, that maximizes my opportunity. If I present myself as a Swiss Army knife or a jack of all trades, to use two of the most common phrases I hear, then I will have more options. And the resounding, recurring feedback I've seen is that it's the opposite, that when you say I'm willing to do anything, that certainly doesn't help in an interview, and it also doesn't help people in a networking capacity. And I'll put in the show notes a link to an interview where I took little snippets of different interviews I've done where people really precisely and concisely express exactly what they're looking for. And what it does for, let's say, someone like me or someone like Maureen who wants to help you, it helps us rifle through our mental Rolodex really easily and think, okay, you're looking to go into finance in New York. Awesome, I can work with that. But when someone says I'm willing to do anything, there, it's just, you know, I want to help you, but I can't think of that right off the hand, and then it's going to get bombarded by, it's going to get displaced by the million other things I have going on. I'm not going to be able to take action to help you. And Maureen, one thing I was also curious about is, given your perspective and just the breadth of your experience, I'm always curious to understand if there's any either common mistakes or false assumptions that people in the military have when they approach their transition to a civilian career. And does anything stand out as either a common mistake or false assumption you see often with the military community?
So I hate to call them mistakes or false assumptions. I'm going to use a different phrase and talk about expectation management. I think that there's because of the level of responsibility given to sergeants, platoon commanders at young ages in the military, that they are responsible for the lives of numbers of people. They're responsible for millions of dollars of equipment. They're operating in foreign and discontinuous environments. All of those things that are key strengths and should be articulated as sort of what I bring to the table as a transitioning service member or a veteran, but sometimes there's an expectation that because of that experience, there's an inflated dollar. There's a premium. I'll call it a premium dollar value, and or a certain expectation around where you come in at a level within a particular organization. If I supervised a team of 8 while I was leading some particular unit while deployed or while managing an airfield or whatever I was doing, that somehow that translates that I should be managing and leading people in my first job in the private sector. There's a possibility that that happens, but there's also a possibility that it doesn't. That as I mentioned previously, it's going to take you 2 steps to get there. So manage expectations going in, that sometimes you're going to need to put some points on the board, and they're going to need to appreciate how you can translate that management skill and leadership skill in the military to a team of folks on a trading desk in a major bank. I think that to me was probably one of the most frequent reoccurring frustrations for folks who came in, and it wasn't just JP Morgan, but I think it was other places as well, that there was this expectation that there was a premium dollar value and a level of responsibility that should be automatic rather than, hey, I've got to get in there, I've got to prove just how good I am. My feeling and my observation and my experience was always, if I teach our veterans and our transitioning service members the rules of the game, they will outplay us every single day, but we have to teach them, and they have to be willing to learn that the rules are a little bit different when you come into the private sector.
This is great, and I see this come up a lot. I think I really like the way that you reframe that around managing expectations. I've heard many people on this show, and myself included, kind of refer to this as entitlement as well, of many veterans stumble when they expect, for many reasons, they expect that they all have a great job waiting for them as soon as they get out of the military, and that tends to lead to maybe a failure to prepare adequately or to approach things with the right attitude. And I will add in the show notes another episode that I think is relevant to what Maureen was talking about. It's with an author. He's not a veteran, but he's an author. His father was a military veteran, Cal Newport. He wrote a New York Times bestselling book called So Good They Can't Ignore You. And I think that episode's really good around cultivating a mindset that's going to lead, no matter what, to career success. And a lot of it boils down to setting expectations and kind of being willing to put your head down and get to gain skill sets. And even if you're starting from scratch, really approach that with a hunger to build a craft. He calls it a craftsman mindset. But I think that's really spot on advice that Maureen is giving. What about, Maureen, I'm wondering, also given the depth of experience that the IVMS has around entrepreneurship, if someone is listening and they're on active duty and they want to start a company when they get out of the military, I guess maybe the 2 questions I would throw in here is, one, if you have any advice about how to prepare financially for that. And then 2, if you have any thoughts about whether it's advantageous to go directly into entrepreneurship or whether to build up some civilian industry experience prior to starting that company.
So, you know, and I think that, and you may know this, Justin, but, you know, service members, veterans are statistically more successful than their non-veteran counterparts. A lot of the training and experience that service members have prepares them well to be successful entrepreneurs, and they're actually over-indexed in small business ownership. So it's a great option not only for veterans, transitioning service members, but also for military spouses or partners because of the portable nature sometimes of entrepreneurship and small business ownership. It becomes very, very portable for our spouses and partners who tend to get caught up in PCS moves and all those kinds of things. But I would say with respect to your first question, the advice about how to prepare financially, I think you always have to start with your own personal finances, because the commitment to entrepreneurship and small business ownership is a significant one, and most small business owners end up bootstrapping the financing to get their businesses off the ground, which means they're leveraging their personal finances. So if you're still in the military and you're thinking that small business ownership is of interest to you, then start now looking at how you are ensuring that your own personal finances are in order so that you have a little bit of flexibility to pursue that entrepreneurial journey that you're thinking about. And I think that with respect to your second question about go direct or get some civilian experience, in my opinion, it's not an either-or proposition. I think that depending on how much bandwidth you have, there's an opportunity to explore both, because I do think that entrepreneurship, unless you're maybe buying business or inheriting a family business or something like that, entrepreneurship is hard and it's time consuming and it can potentially be expensive. So what I've seen many do is to get that job in the civilian sector, but at the same time start to lay all of the foundations that they need to lay, take the steps they need to take to start to build that small business so that they have that sort of top cover, if you will, with that job in the civilian sector, but at the same time, they're doing the work to pursue that small business ownership idea.
That's great. And for listeners, I'll add in the show notes, another interview recommendation is one I did with a guy called Jacob Martinez. Jacob was enlisted in the Marine Corps. He got out, joined his family business, which at the time I believe was 6 people. He grew it to over 300 people. But he is the best example I can think of someone who really inspired me to take an approach of always learning. And I love the way that Maureen framed that, where it's not an either or. And I think that's a great perspective what I take away from that too, is like, no matter what you're doing, always be learning, always be growing, always be seeing how others do things and extracting that knowledge from them. And that's a way to blend those two rather than approaching it as either entrepreneurship or getting an experience. I'm wondering, Maureen, what resources should listeners be aware of, especially given your point at the start of the hour about the number of resources available for military veterans? And I'll take notes as you talk and add these to the show notes, but I'm curious, where would you direct them to find more information about how to thrive in their civilian career?
Well, I'm going to suggest that at IVMF www.syracuse.edu, which is our website, that's a great starting place for many of the programs and services that we offer. I think one of the things that folks don't know about the IVMF at Syracuse is that even though we are a part of Syracuse University, we are training, education, and other programs and services literally across the country and around the globe. So if you're interested in entrepreneurship, we have a whole arsenal of programs that are specifically designed to meet folks wherever they are on their entrepreneurial journey. So if you're just in that ideation early stage, is entrepreneurship, small business ownership for me, there's some programs that are offered. If you are thinking about a career in the private sector, you know, we have a training program, career preparation program that's called Onward to Opportunity. That program is offered on 18 military installations across the country. We also have an online distance learning pathway where there are almost 40 different training programs that lead to industry credentials, and we even have an aspect to that program that directly connects you to prospective employers. If you're looking at, you know, I mentioned America Serves, you're in a community and you're struggling with housing or employment or healthcare, our America Serves networks are there to help ease that access and navigation. We also have a great deal of research that we do that can, as you're trying to sort through some of these things, you know, if it's entrepreneurship, there's the Small Business Administration that is there to be helpful, and they have a variety of community-based resources across the country. We partner with Bunker Labs, which will soon be operating in more than 20 cities across the country. They're focused on entrepreneurship. What's really, I think, a differentiator, I will say, for the IVMF is that we don't pretend to be all things to all people. My boss, Mike Haney, who started the Institute, has this phrase that he calls the first best use of resources. If it's in our wheelhouse, we'll do it. If it's not in our wheelhouse, we're going to help others find those that are doing it well or doing it better than us and partner or refer in a way that we can be helpful. So, you know, for at least for what we've been talking about with regard to entrepreneurship, with regard to career preparation and employment, with regard to needs in communities or informing yourself based upon some research, we have all of that at on our website at ivmf.syracuse.edu.
Awesome. And for listeners, I'm going to add all of those to the show notes in case you're driving right now or operating an aircraft or wherever you are listening to this. And I wanted to also point out a related episode with Todd Connor, who started Bunker Labs. Yep. And in that interview, we talk about what their organization is up to. Well, the last question I have, Maureen, is what have we not covered that you want to make sure that listeners know before we wrap up?
I think I would reiterate, Justin, sort of the reoccurring theme that we've talked about throughout our conversation, which is you're not in this alone, and that when feeling overwhelmed, reach out to us, and if we can't provide the service, we will try to be helpful in providing that service. I think that the other thing that folks need to appreciate about the IVMF is that all of our programs and services are free to our program participants. We spend a great deal of time and energy raising the resources to ensure that we minimize any barriers to participation. We want to be sure that we can best prepare those transitioning or those who have already transitioned to successful lives post-service. And so ensuring that there's not a financial commitment that's necessary in order to participate was one of the big ones that we decided to address from the outset. So I think just knowing that we're here, if we don't have the answers, we'll certainly help you find them.
That's great. Well, Maureen, I appreciate the work that you and the entire team at IVMF are doing to support the military community. And I appreciate your taking the time to speak with me and the Beyond the Uniform audience today. Thank you so much.
Justin, we appreciate the service that you offer to everyone as well, ensuring that those who have volunteered to wear our nation's uniform have all of or as much information as they can.
Service.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Beyond the Uniform. There are over 200 free episodes at beyondtheuniform.io. They're classified by the industry of focus, the functional role the person plays, and more. Beyond the Uniform is hosted, produced, and edited by me, Justin Asiri. Our director of outreach, responsible for sponsorship and guest episodes, is Steve Bain. Our editor, responsible for the show notes and text transcripts for all episodes, is Kathleen Dillon. Our data analytics and insights advisor is Andrew Woolridge. If you are enjoying Beyond the Uniform, you can help us out by telling your veterans and friends in the military about this free resource. There is more information on the website about how you can sponsor an episode or donate to our program to help us grow the work that we're doing. Be sure to check out the coaching section of beyondtheuniform.io, where you can be paired with professional, subsidized coaches to help you figure out your next career move. You can sign up for our newsletter to be up to date on the latest happenings at Beyond the Uniform. And in each show notes section, there is a link to audible.com, which is providing a free audiobook of your choice to Beyond the Uniform listeners. You get a free book of your choosing, and Beyond the Uniform gets $15 to subsidize the cost of the show, regardless of whether you continue with audible.com or not. Check that out and more in the show notes for this episode. Keep the feedback coming. Let me know what resources would help you in your career, and we'll do our best to make that happen. Take care, be safe, and I'll be back next week with more interviews with military veterans about their civilian career.